Today, we're kicking off this teaching, in case you didn't know, called Made for More. And hopefully you grabbed a shirt on your way in. My understanding is we're essentially out, so if you missed it, my apologies on that. But real quick, go ahead and pull out your cell phones. Pull out your cell phones if you have one with you. And when I say if you have one with you, that's like tongue-in-cheek because you got one with you, right? Pull it out. Turn your ringer on for a second. Turn your ringer on for a second.
You realize they're never going to turn them off, right?
I hope they will.
They won't.
They won't. I was at a funeral.
Mine rang during the service last time when we did this.
Yeah.
This dude called me to say, what do you need?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
All right. So here's what I want you to do. Pull out your phone. Turn your ringer on. And here's what I want you to do. Call somebody that you did not ride to church with that's in this room. Call somebody that you did not ride to church with in this room. And as soon as you hear a ring, the first ring needs to throw your hand up in the air.
Hi, babe. Love you. We don't count. I just want to tell her, love you.
You just like raised
the bar. She literally just said, oh, that's great. Yeah, okay.
So I'm not hearing any ringing.
Who won? Somebody over here got it. Who got it? What?
You got it? Come here for a second.
Dude, come here.
Who'd you call or who called you?
My friend Jenny called.
All right. Well, here's a gift card for you.
Your friend who?
Jennifer.
Does she ever go by Jenny? I called my Jenny, and she didn't answer near as kindly as he did your call.
Y'all give it up real quick.
How about that?
I love it.
What did you give him?
Culver's and Texas Roadhouse, I think.
Oh. Jenny's saying, hand him over. It wouldn't have happened without her. So, baby, I was looking for lunch. I knew what was going to happen. You got to trust me on this. You want me to stop? Okay.
All right, you can turn your ringers back off now. Today, as we kick off this idea of Made for More, we're talking about this idea of connection or this idea of community, that we need people in our lives. We need people that are on the speed dial. We need people that we can lean into. And what we're going to talk about over the next couple of weeks is really powerful. It all comes from the book of Ephesians, and it comes from this idea that we really are made for more. Listen to some of these stats about cell phones. 47% of Americans consider themselves addicted to their phones.
I will guarantee you that number's low. I will guarantee that. Yeah. Go to lunch anywhere around this county today and watch how many couples are sitting there not going, I love you, baby, but they're watching their phone. I guarantee that's happening.
Yep.
Watch a family sitting around the room while the television is on, and how many of you are on your phones?
Well, sometimes they're texting each other in the room.
I know it, but it's like an appendage. How many of you totally freak out if you leave your phone and you realize that it's like, ooh, I gotta have my, anybody? How many of you weren't listening, but you saw hands go up and you thought it might be me? Okay, yes, thank you.
They're looking at their phones. Yeah. How about this? 53% of people never have gone more than 24 hours without their phones.
I could see that.
How about this one? 71% say that they look at their phones within the first 10 minutes of the day.
Guilty.
The thing about that means we're waking up and we're either looking at headlines and getting stressed out, or we're looking at social media and feeling bad about our lives. I don't know which one we fall into. Mm. How about this one? The average American spends nearly 3 hours a day on their phone, which ends up translating to be 44 days a year.
So a month and a half of our year is on that iPhone.
And what's funny to me is we call them phones, but I don't know about you. For me, the phone app is the least used app on my phone.
I guarantee that's true.
So how many of you are like me where you wait for the phone to stop ringing so that you can text them back? Anybody?
100%.
How many of you get frustrated when you text somebody and they call you instead of texting you back? How many of you, when somebody asks you, hey, what's the best time to call you? You want to respond, the best time to call me is to text me. Anybody else? So here's the distinction today. We may be accessible via phones, but are we actually available?
This is a big distinction in today's conversation.
Yeah.
Because we are the most accessible people on the planet. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. What we used to, I remember when I got my first beeper,
okay,
right? and you would, somebody is old over there like me, and I would get this beep, like, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. I mean, you know, it was like, ooh, somebody needs me, you know? And then you would have to find a payphone.
Yeah.
And they had these things back in the day called quarters.
Huh.
And you had to find a phone, and then when you got there, you might actually have to do this. It's crazy, right?
Wow.
But then I remember when my beeper
yeah.
had a phone in it. I was like, mind blown. And now I can do everything on my phone but use my phone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know, but here's what's amazing about that is we're the most connected generation on the planet.
Yep.
And yet here's what stats say. 52% of Americans report to feeling lonely. 47 report that their relationships with other people are not actually meaningful or life-giving. 58% say that they always feel like no one actually knows them. 73% of millennials say that they are lonely. And 25% of people admit that they have no one that they consider a close confidant. Think about that. 25% of people, they don't know who to call, which means one, two, three, sorry, Pastor Ohm, you're on your own.
That's
one,
right.
two, three, sorry, you're on your own. It's crazy to think that we are the most connected when it comes to technology, but we're a lonely people.
I think the you found this quote this week that I thought was really awesome from Eugene Peterson that said, there can be no maturity in the spiritual life. Now, just think about that. There can be no maturity in the spiritual life, no obedience in following Jesus, no wholeness in the Christian life apart from an immersion in an embrace of community. This is the power point of the statement, right?
Yeah.
I am not myself by myself.
That's really powerful.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when even if I just think about me and you in community, I think, you know, I am better because I don't do my life just on my own.
Same.
I mean, you and I do this together, you know, and it's Jenny and I are better. Yeah. I mean, Jenny makes me a better human. I am not myself by myself. Community, not the highly vaunted individualism of our culture, is the setting in which Christ is at play.
Mm.
Did you know that feeling set aside and feeling lonely increases your risk of premature death by 62%.
Mm.
And yet, 70%+ of millennials say, I feel lonely.
Mm.
I can't tell you how many people, married people, step into my office and sit there and say, but I feel so lonely.
Yeah.
I feel so disconnected. And this was never God's intent for us. God, there's so many attributes of our God that are beautiful and lovely, but one of them is that he is a communal God.
Mm-hmm.
He desires that you and I do this life as messy as it gets together.
Yeah.
And it started at creation. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. It went on through Scripture all the way through today. God's plan was that we do this life with him and with one another, to the degree that Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God and love others as you love yourself.
Yeah.
So the challenge for us, and this is why, if you're wondering why I stopped and had that little prayer time, the challenge for us, and we didn't mention this at 9:15, but I think the challenge is that when we enter into community, we enter into the risk of being hurt. We enter into the risk of people that don't act like us, look like us, think like us, and talk like us.
Mm.
We enter into vulnerability, which, by the way, comes with great power, but potentially great hurt.
Yeah.
And yet Jesus said, this is how we do life.
Yeah.
We do it together. We were made for more connection. As a matter of fact, Jesus gives us three examples.
He does.
And I love these. One is personal connection. You mentioned this when we were talking earlier about Matthew chapter 8. And in Matthew chapter 8, in verses 1 through 3, Pastor Bobby, go ahead and take that because you unpack this challenge of personal connection.
So in Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 1, it says, large crowds followed Jesus. So there's a ton of people around Jesus everywhere he goes. It says, large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside, and suddenly a man with leprosy approached him. Now, if you don't know what leprosy is, leprosy was a skin disease that was horrific. I mean, it was this thing where it would start as an infection, that infection would grow, and over time, literally, parts of a person's body would fall off.
Right.
So physically, it was nasty. Physically, it was something that you didn't want to be near, and in a spiritual sense, religious people often viewed people with leprosy as people that were the untouchables, both physically but also spiritually. Mm-hmm. So think about that. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him. He knelt before him, and listen to what he says. Lord, which is interesting, right, for him to already acknowledge who Jesus is. Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me, and you can make me clean. Now think about this. This guy is physically unwell. This guy spiritually is an outcast. This guy is not known to be somebody that you want to hang out with. In fact, if a leper was coming into a community, somebody would have to be in front of them and for the 100 feet in front of them be yelling, unclean, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being said about that and for somebody to announce that? And yet he has enough boldness to come to Jesus and say, if you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And look at verse 3. It says, Jesus reached out. Look what Jesus doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say, well, I'm going to pray for you later.
I got people that'll see you later on.
Yeah, go see one of my associates.
Right.
Jesus doesn't say, hey, I'm too busy right now. Instead, here's what it says in verse 3. When this leper that nobody wants to be around, nobody wants to associate with, Jesus reached out and he touched him. Now, again, maybe that doesn't feel like a big deal, but I'm telling you, this guy hasn't been touched in years. This guy hasn't been in that close proximity to somebody in years. This guy has felt like he's got this scarlet letter on his life. In his case, it's leprosy. In your case, it may be something else, but he feels unknowable. He feels untouchable. And Jesus says, I am willing. He touches him. He says, be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Man, this guy was as good as dead. This guy was separated from everybody else. And so the question is, well, why would Jesus touch him? I mean, Jesus didn't have to touch him. Jesus could have said, hey, from a distance, I heal you. Jesus could have said, hey, I'm going to pray for you tomorrow and you'll be healed. He could have said, hey, go to the synagogue and be healed.
Right.
Why did Jesus touch him? Well, maybe the reason why Jesus touched him is this guy just didn't need healing from his disease. He needed love for his rejection.
Leave that slide up, if you would, fellas. You may want to take a picture of this one. I don't think we can imagine how people saw leprosy. Leprosy came with a stench that you couldn't eliminate.
That's right.
Leprosy was like, if you could imagine AIDS in its genesis, and COVID in its genesis before we understood either. And multiply that by 20, that would be how people saw leprosy.
Yeah.
The Talmud was a book, and it was a book that Jewish leaders prepared that were all of the hundreds of laws that Jewish people had to follow. Aren't we glad Jesus came along and did away with this? But they had 61 defilements. Meaning there were things about you physically that would, quote, make you unclean, radically imperfect, separated from the group, unloved, unlovable. Death was number one, and right behind it was leprosy. Nobody would touch a leper. Nobody.
Yeah.
But Jesus, knowing that the rest of the world stayed at least 150 feet away, reached out to touch him. And I believe he did it for the single purpose of letting us see how important it was.
Yeah.
I love this. What does the guy say? If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. He doesn't question, can you heal me?
Yeah.
He says, are you willing to? If there's anything our world needs is to learn how to walk and lead and touch more like Jesus.
Yeah.
Not more like some other human, but just more like Jesus. And I look at that and I think about this. Why would Jesus feel the necessity to do that? And I just love that. Because he needed to love that man's rejection.
That's right.
I'd be willing to say 100% of the people in this room and watching online have experienced rejection at some point in their life. 100% of us have felt alienated. 100% of us have felt wounded or betrayed. We've felt this before. Mm. And Jesus, his remedy for it is not, hey, go have a drink. His remedy isn't, I need a cigarette. His remedy isn't, okay, I need a social media post.
Yeah.
His remedy is stop.
Yeah, personal.
And let him touch your life. And there's something about a loving touch that changes everything. Maybe you're here today. You've gone through a wicked, horrible divorce, and maybe the church where you were at just kind of shunned you. Could I just say to you, welcome home.
Yeah.
Maybe you're here today, and man, your life is just whacked out with something going on in your life that nobody understands, or it doesn't feel like anybody understands. Welcome home.
Absolutely.
If you're here today, and you're a single mom, and it feels like nobody's for you, welcome home. If you're here and you're a dad trying to figure out how to do it, welcome home. If you're dealing with aging parents and you don't know what to do, welcome home. If your kid's gone bat crazy, welcome home. If you're here and addiction has riddled your life, welcome home.
Yeah.
Because Jesus wants to wrap his arms around you and hold you. In between services, our buddy Oscar on our staff, I love Oscar. He came up to me, and some, you know, most men do this, right? Hey, buddy, good to see you. Maybe that, right?
Yeah.
Oscar just grabs me. Hey, Pastor Chuck. And I thought, let go, I can't breathe. But there was just something about that that says, but I'm for you.
That's right. And almost every time, you know, with groups launching, we have a grief share group. And almost every time somebody shows up at grief share, sometimes it's a recent loss that they walk through. Sometimes it's been years and years ago. But on the outside, people assume they're okay. But on the inside, they feel lonely. Or sometimes it's even with our divorce care group where somebody feels like their life blew up. And they feel like, man, my old friend group is gone. And there's something powerful about that community. Or even our prayer team. We've got a wonderful group of prayer warriors that like to hang out. And people will come up after a service and they'll be like, I feel alone. Mm-hmm. And we've personally walked through this. I can't go into all the details, but over the last couple of months, our family's gone through a really, really difficult season. Mm-hmm. And it's been so, so tough. And, man, we've had so much support around us. We've seen God moments throughout the process. But it's one of the hardest seasons my wife and I have ever, ever walked through. And I'll never forget, a few weeks ago, our small group sort of rallied together to provide a meal and just some encouragement. And those are all great. I mean, those are all great. But one of the things that made a huge difference in my wife's life was when one of our dear friends from small group showed up, delivered all the things that the small group put together. But the thing that made such a huge moment in addition to all that was just this big bear hug that she gave her. And I think even now, just thinking about it, it like does something inside of me, because I was traveling and Laura called me and said that was the thing I needed.
Mm.
And I think sometimes in our world, we think, well, I don't know enough Bible to do what Jesus did, or I don't have enough time to do. All this friend did was made a personal connection, and it made all the difference. Are y'all tracking?
Yeah, and I would even say in that moment, that hug was far more powerful than pulling the pen on a Bible verse and lobbing it at you. But I will tell you, there was an underlying factor that allowed that group to do that, and that is what Jesus has proven to us to demonstrate authentic interest.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that God made this point of giving us one mouth and two ears? I mean, the concept of trying to just be there and listen to do. Luke 24 tells a story that says, he asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? These folks are on the way to Emmaus. This is after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus walks on up on them and he says, what are you discussing so intently? And they stop short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened over the last few days, not knowing he is the center point of all those things. And Jesus, rather than saying, yeah, I know, you wouldn't believe what it was like inside that tomb. Mm. He says, what things? I love how he responds. I mean, did he know? Of course he knew. But what did he do? He heard them. One of the things I'm most excited about the future of our student ministry is this picture that we want students to be seen, to be heard, to be loved, and to be welcomed. And honestly, we want it for you.
Yeah.
And I know as a follower of Jesus, I believe it's Jesus' way of saying, just go ahead and have a chat with me. There are days that even before I called Jenny on the way home, me and the Lord have to just do some business about my day. And maybe I've gone through 3 back-to-back-to-back counseling appointments where folks have just poured their guts out to me, and I'll just get in the car, and me and the Lord just have to have a talk. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I love about Jesus is he's never said, hey, let me put you on hold. I got another call. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's there. Here's a thought that might be tweetable for you. Ready? I think here's how we apply this picture of Jesus, that we try to focus on being interested rather than proving how interesting we are. Ouch. You're at a dinner party, and what's the first question? What do you do? And then we spend the next 15 minutes trying to paint a picture of all the accolades and cool stuff we do. Jenny and I were in a meeting with Gwinnett County the other day talking about Meals on Wheels and different nonprofits of the church, and we looked across the table and said, hey, before you get into all that, how can we help you? I wish you could see the looks on people when you actually look at them and say, how can we help you? And they're like, whoa. Like, my favorite thing to do, Bobby, when people come in the office is, hey, tell me your story. Tell me about you. And I mean, I would just say to us, rather than trying to prove ourselves interesting, what if we were to do more like Jesus and be interested?
Yeah, Jesus could have unloaded all the scripture on these two guys that have this wrestling with this question. And instead, Jesus responds to their doubt with more questions. And that's a great tool for us, is to say, hey, if we're going to model what Jesus did, instead of always talking, always having the answers, what would happen if we sat kneecap to kneecap or in a small group circle and we just said, tell me your story? Tell me more about that. In fact, if you look at these letters on the screen, E-I-L-N-S-N-T, I feel like I'm on Wheel of Fortune. You know how you have to pick the, yeah. Those are the same letters in the word listen and in the word silent.
Yeah.
And maybe one of the gifts that we could give to the people around us is just to be present and to actually be engaged and to be interested. Because most of the time, in every relationship, there's a talker, right? In every small group, there's a talker. In every work environment, there's a talker. How many of you know talkers in your small group or in your work or in your family? You know who I'm talking about. If some of you don't have your hands up, it may be a sign that you're the talker. You may be the one. Oh, y'all give Pastor Chuck a hand.
That's a golf clap if I've ever heard one right there. Yeah. I immediately thought about one relationship that happens to be sitting right in front of my wife right now. One of them is a talker, and one of them is not.
Yeah.
And I just find it so funny to sit behind them sometimes and watch them.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to mention their name other than he's wearing a bright blue shirt.
Huh. How about that?
But the talker is sitting next to him.
Yeah.
I just say that in love.
Whenever I'm doing premarital counseling, I always talk about communication and say there's always a talker and then there's a husband in the relationship.
Send those emails to bobby@sugarhillchurch.com.
Sorry, Laura. Sorry. I didn't mean to include that. But I would just encourage you.
Well, I cannot believe you said that.
These are all...
you can't say that stuff this kind of day.
Look, I said that, and we gave away free shirts today, so, I mean...
I will just say, the guy in charge of the money gave away free shirts, and I am shocked.
And they're not the scratchy ones.
Yeah, I know, they're not the scratchy kind.
They do have an annoying tag, though, so I'm sorry about the tag. But so these are all examples of Jesus. How do we live in community? It's not theology. It's not trying harder. All of those things play into it. That's a dramatic
point. That's a sign to give away more shirts.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord, we hear you.
You know, listen. Theology is absolutely important. Service, absolutely important. All those things are important, but Jesus modeled the soft skill of being in relationships. Yeah. Number one, be connected, human connection. There's something about being connected to other people. Number two, this idea of actually listening, showing authentic interest. And then the last one is to give of your time.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you a question. How many of you feel busy this week? Anybody feel busy this week? Yeah? Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus have an important mission on earth? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Did he have the most important mission on the planet?
Absolutely.
He only had about 3.5 years to pull it off. Was that a short amount of time?
Yeah.
And yet, Jesus made time for people. Mm. There's so many examples. We'll just throw them on the screen. The first one is when Jesus is teaching in Luke 5, verses 17 to 19. Jesus is teaching to a packed house. And some friends want their paralyzed friend to be healed. When they lower him through the roof because they couldn't get in any other way, Jesus doesn't say, I don't have time for this right now. You're not on my big three list today. You're not on my checklist. Jesus made time for this guy. Or even later in Luke chapter 8, verse 22, Jesus is asleep. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I love that Jesus took naps. So every Sunday, I say, I want to be more like Jesus. I'm going to take a nap. Can I get an amen from anybody? And let me just say, if you wake me up early, it's not pretty. Our dog has this internal clock as to when he wants to eat, and he often wakes me up early on Sundays, and I'm not happy about it. I'm kind of angry. I'm a little hangry at that point, you know what I'm saying? Yet when Jesus is woken up in Luke 8, he doesn't go off. Instead, he heals the moment. He heals the situation. On his way to healing, in Luke 8, a woman who has for 12 years had this issue of blood, she touches the hem of his robe. Jesus doesn't say, I'm too busy for this lady. He stops in that moment.
Yeah.
He makes time for her. And even in Mark chapter 1, when Jesus is praying, Jesus makes time for other people. So here's the Mississippi theology for me. If Jesus can make time for people, what's our excuse for not making time for people?
Right.
You don't have to have a degree to do this. You don't have to have it all figured out to do this. We just have to realize if Jesus cares about people, we ought to as well.
Yeah, we always think it's about our ability. Mm-hmm. And yet it's 100% about our availability.
Yeah.
You know, what is our willingness to be there? You know, here's what I've learned. Many men are sitting in this room, and women too, but predominantly I want to speak to men for a minute. Many of you are sitting there thinking, yeah, but Chuck, I mean, I don't have time. I got stuff to do. Okay, here's the great problem with living in only that space, because I live there too. I mean, I have to work hard at trying to be nice. I don't think I'm a naturally nice guy. You know, I have to try to prioritize being nice.
I think you're harder on yourself than you actually are.
Okay, thanks. But I guess
I could have been nicer about that response.
Yeah. So, what I've learned, though, just simple kindness and presence has a huge ministry.
You talk about the ministry of presence when you talk to our team about one of the things that we can bring to our people.
Yeah, just a ministry of presence, that you're there for people.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think, I did a funeral back shortly after COVID, one of our senior adults, and I can remember while I was preaching their funeral, thinking to myself, I'm literally not worthy to do this because I really wasn't there for them as I should have been. And sometimes I think we feel that, but we stay in that sense of shame or guilt. We don't move past it and into the place, let me correct it.
Yeah.
And I want to invite you to do that, to make yourself available. Don't live in regret. You may say, well, but Chuck, I can't do that for everyone. Jesus has never asked you to do that for everyone. Jesus didn't stop for everyone.
Yeah.
But what does happen is when you stop for someone, it ripples like an amazing, powerful tsunami. And you will have done far more for far more people than you could have ever imagined when you actually do what you can, not what you feel like you have to do. So be careful that this doesn't become a have to, but this becomes a I get to.
Yeah.
And I have this privilege. I had a fellow in my office this week who actually used the text we're about to say, because there are people in here right now that feel like, I can't do that. I'm alone. Chuck, I'm the person that needs this care. And what I'd say to you is, if you're here and you're the person that feels alone, let me speak over you what this fellow spoke over me this week. He quoted Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, where the Lord says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. And the prayer that I believe all of us can join in today is that we ask God to give us eyes to see folks that are hurting and our presence can be powerful with. Mm. Not people that are hurting and you can fix the problem.
Yeah.
But hurting and your ministry of presence can be a blessing.
Yeah.
Maybe the prayer is, God, would you bring somebody to my mind right now that may even just look like something's wrong. Mm. And my presence, my prayer, my encouragement, my touch, my consideration, my ability to listen, I'm willing to give. Mm. To give us eyes to see and a heart to care. That I cannot be myself by myself.
Yeah.
And to help me follow the example Jesus gave us.
Yeah.
That's the takeaway from all this.
Absolutely. You know, I used to, growing up, I'd hear preachers sort of scare you. I don't know if you grew up in an environment like that. They'd be like, one day at the end of your life, yeah. God's going to put on the big screen of heaven everything you did that was wrong. You know, as a sixth grader, I'm like, holy cow, that's not, you know. I don't think there's going to be like a Jumbotron in heaven. Mm-mm. But if there was one, and if God was going to show anything on it, I really think he'd edit our lives down to a tight 30-second clip.
Yeah, I agree.
And he would show every single time that we connected with people like he did.
Yeah.
Every single time that we showed interest in people like he did. And every single time that we made time for people like he did.
Yeah.
Because what God's after is for you and for me to look like Jesus.
Amen.
So I want to give you two rapid applications. One is, if you don't have a community around you, would you consider jumping into a small group this season? In fact, there's a QR code on the screen. It'll take you to a simple form that you can filter down, right, that will get you down to the day of the week, the time. There's a marriage group on Wednesday nights, right? I'm seeing nodding heads of people that are plugged in and part of this. And so I'd love for you to consider jumping into a small group where you can build community. Maybe you already have one. Maybe you're the kind of person that says, hey, I've got some neighbors in our cul-de-sac, and we get together every now and then. Or maybe you've got an office space at work that you're able to gather with some coworkers before work. If we can help resource you, just email us at groups@sugarhillchurch.com, and we would help you with that. And then the second action step, and we're going to talk about this more at the end of the month as well, but one of the ways that you can develop having a heart for people is to actually be around them in proximity. And one great way to do that is to serve. Yeah. And so we've been talking about Meals on Wheels all morning long. And so Meals on Wheels, an incredible way to serve hundreds of people in our community, whether it's preparing meals, packaging meals, delivering meals, whether it's one time or if it's multiple times over time. So that's a great way. Also with school starting back, we have dozens of volunteers that come every Thursday to pack hundreds of backpacks to literally take food that 24 hours from being packed will go into our schools to provide those families with sustenance over the weekend. And so imagine being one of those people packing a backpack, knowing that that actual backpack is going to somebody that next day. And so if you want any information about those things, drop an email to Ann@sugarhillchurch.com, Ann@sugarhillchurch.com. She can help you get plugged into Meals on Wheels. She can help you get plugged into Backpack Project as well.
Yeah.
We'd love
to. I want to go back to groups for just a second. Hey, guys, men, just look right here. Dudes, I don't care how old you are, look right here. Many of you men right now are saying, Bobby, that is not for me. I'm one of those guys that just doesn't like that whole group thing, the whole scene, all right? Guys, listen, that is lazy Christianity, and that is a pitiful excuse. Don't be the reason why, as a couple, you are not experiencing the power of community because you're too dang lazy to get out of your own way and be fully present in a group. You say, Chuck, that's harsh. It was meant to be. Because way too many men right now are thinking, that's not for me. Guys, that is just a bald-faced lie from straight out of hell to try to tell you not to be all that God wants you to be as a man and as a follower of Jesus. Mm. So it is time to man up on that one and get in a group. How is that for clear?
I love it. That's crystal clear.
Cool. Then I want to give you a blessing and let's go home. All right? Because I just love doing this. Hey, come here. Come here. That's my buddy. We're going to do this again. Come on, bro. Yeah, man. Come on. That's my buddy. Yeah. You ready? It's late. That's what time it is. All right. Everybody's a comedian. You ready, buddy? Let's let Jesus go before them and make a way and make your crooked path straight. Let Jesus go within you and bring you peace and joy, fulfillment and contentment, because he is always good and you are always loved. And when things get difficult, let this Jesus come along behind you and pick you up and carry you and wrap his loving arms around you as he sets you down victoriously and wipes away your tears and kisses you on the forehead and wraps his arms around you as he says, my child, I love you.
God bless you. Y'all go in peace.